This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, my name is Jeroen Leenaerts and this is the 28th episode of my podcast AppForce1. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about otherwise. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the NSDate interval object, declarative unit testing for Vapor, chaining publishers with Combine in Swift, Swift UI grids in iOS 13, developer's guide to family sharing in app purchases, colorizing images with Core ML, and Danny's Monday morning tweet. So let's get started. I got a couple of great interviews recorded already with Tim Eisenman, Stuart Lynch and Jordi Bruin. And I also have some great stuff planned as well with Philip Nemeczek, Dave Verweer, Dominic Williams, Reiner de Vries and Kim Arnett. The first interview I will be releasing is with Tim Eisenman, and he took an interesting journey. He's the developer of Pocket Rocket. And it's an interesting story, actually, that he has to share with us. So keep an eye on my feed. And on Thursday, you will know a lot more about Tim. And all the other names I just mentioned will come in the following weeks. If you're just dying to get to the content that I'm recording, please have a look at my Pod fan page. Because every time I do an interview, I try to upload the raw audio as fast as possible on my private feed on pod.fan/appforce1. It's a subscription-based thing, but if it's something that you like, please consider subscribing to that. There's a 7-day free trial, and then you can have like very early access to any new interviews that I'm doing. So please have a look at that as well. The home remodeling, the construction work at least, is finished. Today, we had somebody in the house doing all kinds of floor work, and he'll be back on Wednesday and then maybe next week. So that's progressing nicely. I do notice while recording this that I need to do some treating of the room that I'm in, which reminds me of something that I've never asked actually. How's the sound quality actually of my podcast recordings? I'm very curious what people think about the audio quality and the way that I record my sessions. So please reach out on Twitter and let me know, @appforce1. Let me know what you think of the sound quality, because if there's something that I can improve, I'm always willing to learn. I'm also using my new Otherworld computer Thunderbolt dock, and it's such a relief to just be able to plug in one cable and then that everything is connected to my MacBook. And still, I have some ports to spare if I want to add some other things as well. So really enjoying this, and the best part is I was able to purchase this dock with the proceeds that I earned with my book. So to all those who are reading my book, thank you very much. And do let me know what topics or areas in my book you want me to add content to or expand upon. And of course, this is about the lead developer book that I published back in March. So if you haven't seen this book yet, please have a look at the show notes, and maybe it's something that's interesting to you as well. Use the promo code podcast. Now let's start with the first article of this week's podcast episode, the NSDate interval object by Andy Ibanez. Somehow this shiny new object, which was introduced in iOS 10, was totally unnoticed by Andy. And in his article, he wants to take a few minutes to talk about the NSDate interval object. This object allows you to quickly calculate the time interval, represented as an NS interval, between dates. It's a nice article of a lesser known object within the Foundation framework. And you should really have a look at this article, because it's a nice overview of this piece of API that is very convenient if you ever have to do any date-based calculations. Tibor writes an article on declarative unit testing for Vapor. In a previous article, Tibor showed how you can build a type-safe RESTful API using Vapor. In this article, he's going to extend upon that project a bit and write some tests with the Vapor testing tool to discover the underlying issues in the API layer. First, he's going to use XCT Vapor library, and then he will migrate to a lightweight declarative testing framework called SPEC. The interesting part of this article is that not only is it showcasing how you can actually use unit testing, but he's also using an interesting framework called SPEC. If you've never looked into this unit testing framework, definitely have a read of this article, because it will show you how you can use SPEC and its way of declaring unit tests to actually help you write your testing code. Using SPEC can be very convenient on larger code bases, and it allows you to have a more declarative way of specifying what you want to test on your unit tests. The end result will be that you have a very readable specification of what your implementation is supposed to do by just reading what SPEC has helped you declare in your testing code. Majid talks about chaining publishers with Combine and Swift. The Combine framework provides you a bunch of operations to map, filter, and chain asynchronous operations. This week, Majid wants to focus on the chaining of asynchronous jobs using two main operators that the Combine framework provides you with. You will learn how to use FlatMap and switch to latest operators to chain asynchronous tasks in a declarative way. Gabriel talks about Swift UI grids in iOS 13. In a previous post, Gabriel demonstrated how you can create grids in Swift UI. If you read his article, then you know that the technique is pretty straightforward, and with various grid item sizes you can achieve nice results. There is a downside though. Everything presented in that article, such as lazy vertical grid and lazy horizontal grid, or the grid item type, is available in iOS 14 and onwards. If you want to support iOS 13 in your apps, then it is necessary to come up with a different solution. In his article, Gabriel presents this different solution. Andy from Revenue Cat writes an article on how to use family sharing for in-app purchases, how to support and test family sharing in your app. He first explains what family sharing is, then he explains how family sharing works, and how you can enable it for your app, because there are some steps involved on App Store Connect. Obviously, you also have to do some work for your family sharing with your in-app purchases themselves. Then you come to the best part of the article, and that's the testing of shared subscriptions. Obviously, Revenue Cat has support for this feature out of the box. You do need to do some settings, and he also makes sure to mention that in his article. The final article I will be mentioning is by Max. He writes an article on colorizing images with Core ML. It's a very strong use case that he presents on how you can actually colorize black and white images to get back to the original colored version of an image. Obviously, it is somewhat of an approach which is machine learning based, but he was able to dig up a very concise neural network that actually delivers great results in colorizing black and white images. In his article, Max describes all the prerequisites and what the process is actually about with the neural networks themselves, and he makes sure to explain how you can actually utilize this machine learning model in your own code base. It's obviously a proof of concept thing, but I must say that the results that he's presenting in his article are very convincing, and it's a perfect showcase of what CoreML is capable of doing on just any regular old iOS device. So have a look at his article and be amazed on what CoreML can actually achieve. Now, I said last article back there, but let's pull the iOS feed slot machine and see what turns up. And the resulting article is on smashswift.com, my application for Swift Student Challenge 2021. Cornell writes an article on what he is submitting to the Student Challenge for WWDC 2021. And he's in his last year of undergraduate studies, so he decided to take part in the Apple Challenge for WWDC. Last year he created an app for drawing hiragana characters. Hiragana is one of the Japanese alphabets. And this year he also decided to use Xcode Playgrounds and he had a few ideas on what he could do. He chose to do an application for breathing, and it's the implementation of box breathing. It's a very simple thing. There's a square that is expanding and contracting, and there's an animation representing breathing. Now let's move on to Donny's Monday morning tweet. On his tweet, he got a number of interesting replies. Stuart Lynch reports that he is only 6 away from reaching 4,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. He says it's time to celebrate. And it wasn't that long ago that he was telling Donny about reaching 2,000 subscribers. Koa is wishing Donny good morning, and he hopes Donny had a nice weekend. And he had a friend that helped him translate an app to Dutch. So that's very interesting. PaySpell will be soon available in the Dutch language as well. Tommy got a job interview today, and then he's fixing some bugs in his national holiday calendar side project that he is working on. Marius is wishing Donny good morning, and this week he's wrapping up the final details of borderlessengineeringconf.com. And David had some fun last week and he made an app preview video, and this week he will see if it has any positive results on his App Store listing and the conversion to actual paying customers. Richard is learning SQL, MySQL specifically. Mustafa is mentioning that he's working on Siri shortcuts coming to the task app soon. He went from zero knowledge to now being a semi-expert thanks to Josh Holtz. Cosmin is working on an app where you can reward people for their work and let them buy things from you with the money earned. He hopes to release it this week. Michi is working on the WWDC community week together with an amazing group of volunteers. Rashad just shipped Sticky Meme Gen. And since he's off of work for the next 2 weeks, he's doing lots of updates on the Sticky Meme Gen. It's entirely Swift UI, so it's his first Swift UI app in the actual store. If you love memes, you gotta try it out. And Bastian mentioned that he has exams, and the product itself was fun to make, but now he has to make an academic article in Danish about Hologram TT. Chris has been attempting to craft an enhanced version of a text field to practice and explore combine, and it's proven to be more difficult than he anticipated. His goal is to allow value manipulation with each keystroke, adding a debounced parameter. So there you have it. A lot of people are working on app updates and at app releases actually. So a lot of great stuff is coming out in the coming week. So really curious to what people have to report next week. Maybe they've launched and they have good success with their product. Or maybe somebody else is having great new ideas as well. And that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed my episode. And I look forward to talking to you more in the future. If you have any feedback, please reach out on Twitter at AppForce1. And let me know what you think. Talk to you next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.